Hello, everybody. This is Enzo. Welcome to the Race Driver Coach Show. And we've got something a bit different today. I'm going to do an interview with somebody who specializes in sports sponsorship, massively in motorsport, but football and tennis and rugby and all other sports. Basically, they take companies or they allow companies to grow themselves through sport, which is what I talk about a lot, right? So it's about time we talk to a real expert in this industry, and they're also athlete management company. So they're really involved with drivers' careers and other things as well. So these are the boys. They've been going for around 10 years. We're going to speak to Chris Harfield, and it's WH Sports, who we're going to talk to. And Harfield is the H, obviously, in that name. And he used to be a tennis player, professional, and then moved into athlete representation with some big companies, and then made his own with WH, which with Joe Williams, who's also the other half of the company. So because everybody's at home, it's great time, and him as well, to sit down and do a bit of a Zoom meeting so we can offer some kind of value to drivers who are looking for sponsorship or investment, or are just trying to get their head around the business model that is in motorsport. I hope you enjoy this. It's a nice little sit down, half an hour or so, and just take whatever you can from it. There is advice in here that will help you. Ain't afraid to bare my soul, ain't afraid to walk on coals. I ain't gonna tell no lies, I ain't gonna apologize. Can't stop me now. Can't stop me now. I'm just doing what I do. Hi Chris, and welcome to the Race Driver Coach Show. As you know, because I think you're a watcher already, we dedicate everything to race drivers and the biggest pains that race drivers go through. And what we're going to talk about today is one of them big pains, which is sponsorship. That's why I brought you along. And it's so great to have an interview like this, because even though we're all stuck at home, I can talk to you because I bet you're a bit less busy than normal, a bit more available like everybody is right now. But just to give you a bit of an intro, I want you to do it. Tell everybody what you do, about your company, what you do for drivers, and so we can start the conversation so everybody knows what's going on. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, as you said, I'm Chris, and I'm one of the founders of WH Sports. WH Sports is a sports agency that was set up about 10 years ago by myself and Joe Williams. The concept behind this, the agency that we set up, was to operate across two different platforms, one of which was brand representation and one of which was athlete representation. When we were looking at the different sports that we could be active within, obviously my personal background was as a professional tennis player, so obviously I had a lot of knowledge about that. Worked for an agency where I was part of sort of football players' careers and sort of more mainstream athletes, but I sort of saw an opening within motorsport where I thought perhaps, you know, it wasn't done to the same level as it is in other sports. So that was what I really kind of focused the attention of the athlete management department in.
Yep.
And the brand representation side was trying to make sure that obviously if you're a sports team,
yep,
you approach companies and say, this is what you should be doing, we're great because of this, that, and the other. Whilst what we try to do is actually go and speak to the brand specifically and say, what is it that you're trying to accomplish? What's your target audience? Yeah. Let's see if we can find a solution within the sports space that, you know, that can do that. So we're completely non-partial. And I think that one of the things that we've tried to do, or perhaps, you know, has made us successful over the years, is to try to marry the two up. So how do we use the expertise and the insight from the commercial team on the sponsorship side to assist with the drivers? Because as you pointed out, and it's obviously the theme of the show, is that motor racing drivers, the obstacle which they have to overcome 9 times out of 10 is how do we resource the careers. So
and it's something you're not really taught, because when you're a driver, you fall in love with the sport, you're doing a bit of go-karting just for fun. You get even more into it. You start to then look at cars, or if you come from a young age, and you're completely in love with the Hollywood storyline of it all. You don't realize that, okay, it's one of the most expensive sports on the planet. Talent is really, really important. And what we'll talk about later is that is a sales part of your sales, what you actually bring to a team if you have got the talent. But you think, that's all I need and it will get me through. You don't realize that you actually need to be really good at business. You have to understand what companies are after, which we'll go into. So people are not ready for this. But yeah, as you say, the show is here to teach people that. Part of the show is. So as a driver, I love the sport. I know I'm pretty good at it. What would you say I should do in order to get sponsorship? Just a few ideas, or just run back actually to make it easy for yourself. What have you done in the past to help drivers get into race seats that they didn't quite have all the money in the world, like a lot of drivers have? Just give us a few stories.
Well, I mean, I think certainly from what we've done in the past, you know, I'm really going to kind of focus on the elite drivers, because that's who we you know, that we've obviously focused on. I think, you know, motor racing is so expensive that it unfortunately lets a lot of people at a very young age understand the point that being good is not good enough. You've got to be exceptional. And I think particularly, you know, when you're talking about the kind of money that you need to go racing, it's not a charitable, here's 500 quid, good luck. You need serious sums of money. And, you know, when you're talking about serious sums of money, you've got to give it to someone, or you've got to get someone involved, that there's got to be something in it for them. So we've come at this in the past of looking at it from, you know, more of an investment perspective. So we have someone that we think is an exceptionally gifted athlete, and we're saying we believe that everything in their career is, you know, consistent with someone that has historically gone on to obtain a top professional career and, you know, command a salary of X. So if you believe that his statistics at this point in his career are the same as, you know, some of those that are others, and you think that they can go on and accomplish great things, then, you know, we can structure things from an investment perspective to do that. The tricky part in motor racing is obviously, it's very hard to find a category and a path that really does reward the driver for winning.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm sure, you know, it's better than anyone that right now, if you win a top major championship in, you know, in a lot of European motorsports, you get the profile, you get the kind of the cachet of winning it. But the real kind of kicker with the whole thing is you're now eligible to compete in a championship that, you know, supersedes it from a power of the vehicle perspective, but it also costs twice as much. And how are you going to overcome that?
Yeah, you've won a championship. Well done. Now you can.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
pay more.
It's kind of like, okay, so you've won this.
Yeah.
You know, but now you've got to go and find more money. And if you're an investor,
yeah,
if you think of it like in a business perspective, if you've gone out and you've got a product and you say, right, we're going to take this to market, and it's been really successful, that sells off the shelf and you get a return on that. So then to obviously go back and say, yeah, but now it's just qualified it. Now you've got to put even more in and more in.
Yeah.
It stops looking like a commercial opportunity and starts looking like, come on, just help me out because I need it.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's just, there's always a time on that. So the investment side's been that.
Have you done it before with the driver?
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
So it was very much kind of, you know, like I was suggesting, we had a driver that was for me, that jumped out of the page. He was exceptionally talented, and his results, what he was able to do. What I always look for me is not somebody that is similar to someone that's gone before them and accomplishes those results, but it's someone that does something that no one's done before.
Yeah.
And that, you know, for me, that inspires me, that gets me fired up, and that makes me want to find a way to, you know, make it happen for them. And we were, you know, we sort of identified that a few years ago with a driver and
took him to the States, right?
Yeah, we took him to the US and you know, and he's he's an exceptional driver. And I think at the time, you know, that when you've got someone very, very good, what you have to look at is, look, you're one of the best drivers in the world.
Mm.
We just have to put you somewhere where you can have a professional career and give you that stage to really show everyone what I've seen and, you know, what others have seen, and that's obviously tricky. And that identifying the path, that's the trickiest part.
That's why we need people like you. I mean, your thought process between, okay, we've got this kid who's European, right? He's British. Mm-hmm. We're not going to take him to the normal F1 route. We're going to take him to America. Why is that? What's the difference? Precisely.
So at that point in time, there was a way that a driver could you know, the US, and they still have it. They have the Road to Indy, which is a scholarship program. So, you know, that if you win, you know, on one of the steps of the Road to Indy, you immediately get a scholarship that, you know, enables you to compete in the series above. So he was very, very good. And I knew that, well, if he was given, you know, a seat in a competitive team, he would win the championship and he would get the opportunity to move up. And that's exactly kind of the way we did it. But it kind of goes back to the idea of, you know, looking at it really kind of without the emotion.
Yeah.
You know, you've got an opportunity here, you've got a great driver, a fantastic talent.
Yeah.
You've got to figure out a way to get him to the top.
And we can't overlook that.
Yeah.
That's your skill. I remember you going through this, mate, and it's like, okay, everyone can go, brilliant. You got into it was like Pro Mazda or whatever. You pay for that. He wins. He gets half the budget towards Indy Lights. It sounds easy. But I can just imagine the turmoil and the hard work that you had to go through just to get the money for Pro Mazda. That's not an easy feat. So you had to go out and find $500,000 or whatever. So that's the kind of story that people are really interested in. It's like, how the hell did Chris from WH Sports go out and find that money? Okay, the kid's got the talent, so he can do it. But how did you even go about that? Who did you talk to?
Well,
when did you
start? It was kind of, I mean, I was fortunate enough that I had the driver. I was lucky enough that the driver, I met with the driver and his family, and I, you know, I said, look, I want to work with you, not because I think that you're a good driver. I think that you're the best I've ever seen at this stage in your career, and I want to find a way. Yeah, you know, and resources were not going to be something that, you know, that were able to just throw behind him and off you go kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we had to sort of look at it. So, you know, we kind of looked, you know, at sort of various people as guys that were perhaps invested in shares of a racehorse.
Okay.
You know, something like that. And look at it to them and say, look, you know, people that get involved in stuff like that do it because they like they like watching something, you know, develop, watching someone kind of go on and advance, and, you know, and know that they were an intrinsic part of wherever that horse kind of ends up, or if it wins, they win.
Yeah.
And you create that kind of emotional bond where, you know, you're a team, you're all in it together. And, you know, we worked very hard to create a team of people around that were going to help.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't like we had, you know, millions upon millions to, you know, that we raised. We had enough for one shot.
Oh.
You know, and then for the driver, he's operating at gunpoint, right?
Yeah.
You have to win. You have to do this. And,
yeah,
you know, then your job, as much as it is the guy that's got to go out there and try and find a way of building some resources around the driver, you've now got to be the person that's supporting a driver. And obviously I know this is something you know very well, but you've now got to help this driver, you know, cope with these, you know, this stress, this massive fight or flight, you're at gunpoint, you've got to succeed, you know, all those kind of things you know, it's just tough.
And I saw this going on from the outside because I kind of knew you at this point, didn't I? I think we knew each other, but not great.
Yeah.
And actually, when people see it going on, it's just two kids, because you didn't have a lot of money yourself then. You were just starting out in the agencies, agency sort of thing. So both of you were striving. And if anyone's seen Jerry Maguire, I think this is the closest we get to it in motorsport. You and this driver, who we're not going to mention, who's doing really well now, paid. Investors are all getting their money back, right? It worked.
He's doing a fantastic job, and
it was quite good to watch.
To be honest, do you know the crazy thing is that when I look back at it, and you know, now he's one of the sort of top professionals in the sport.
Yeah.
But I look back and the days where we were at the circuits and he had to win, he had to do this. Like, I wouldn't trade those memories for anything.
Oh man!
Like, for me, they were amazing. And it was, you know, at the time it was kind of, you know, he and I against the world sort of thing. And it kind of reminded me of why you do this. And, you know, you want to do something which inspires you. You want to be part of that story. And, you know, that's kind of what I got into it. I mean, and to be honest, if you, it's great, right? If you work with a driver who's very, very talented and has a lot of resources and you know, and is able to sort of fund the way through, that's, you know, that's very fortunate. But there is an argument to sort of say, well, what's the skill in guiding a driver like that?
Mm.
If they've got all the resources, you know, that, you know, obviously there's no sort of, there's no guarantee that you'll make it because you've got the money to make it. But the skill element of it is less. And, you know, I'm particularly proud of some of the things that some of our guys that have worked, that work for us have done about finding opportunities for drivers in different routes.
And exactly.
You know, as long as a driver comes into it with the mentality of, I want to obtain a professional career in the sport, and they can get someone that looks at their situation and says, right, this is your path.
Yeah.
It might not be, you know, kind of exactly as you said at the start, what you want is your point A, but this is how you can do it. And, you know,
that's,
I think
really
in,
cool.
in many ways, and in many ways, once you're there, once you're winning at the top of the sport, you can kind of do anything, right? You know what I mean?
Yep.
You've got Fernando Alonso jumping into an Indy 500 car, and then he's doing the Paris Dakar and doing stuff like that. And you've got Valentino testing a Formula One car. You know, so there are things that when you're at the top of the sport, when you're winning, you know, people will do things for you because you're very, very good. You're very talented.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. And I saw you do it with another driver who was in F3, and he could have carried on spending money F2 and all this. But you actually said, you know what, looking the way the market is now, if we shift over to this kind of racing, which was the WEC racing, it could really turn into a career where going up the F1 route is just, it's a lottery, isn't it? And I bet they're glad they listened to you as well, because now that driver's gone on. So positioning, making right decisions, it's great to have someone like you because you see it from an emotional business standpoint. Where can we position you to give you the best shot? So doing it on your own as a driver is bloody hard, mate, because you're just too close to the problem. But if you've got someone like yourself who's doing them kind of decisions, and all you care about is the driving and self-promotion as well, obviously a little bit, then you stand a chance, I reckon.
Yeah, and I think if you look at every sport that's out there, I guess maybe the one that's the most comparable is perhaps, or the two that are most comparable are probably golf and tennis, because they're very much individual sports. But, you know, a golfer and a tennis player will have, you know, they'll have a coach, they'll have a fitness trainer, they'll have a nutritionist, they'll have a career agent and stuff like that. And it's all about surrounding yourself by the right people, with the right people rather that can all add to you as a sportsman, whether it's giving you the ability to walk onto the court or onto the course knowing I've never been fitter, I've never been stronger, you know, mentally because of that, I feel the best that I can, or the guys that are even, you know, frankly, from a commercial perspective, even putting you on the pitch in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, that there are those things. I don't think it's wrong that you should ask for help. It's not a sign of weakness saying, I need someone to help me with this. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not something that it doesn't show a deficiency. It's actually, you know, I think, you know, if you read a lot of books about the most successful businessmen in the world, they talk about, you know, the skill of delegation and acknowledging your shortcomings as a person, saying, Joe, I'm not particularly good at this.
Yep.
My skills are in this bit. I need to get somebody in that really excels, because, you know,
it's a toolbox and we're all tools. Basically, if you're the screwdriver, you only do that kind of job. If you're the hammer, but you need them all together, to be fair. No, that's great. Yeah. So I would say that as a driver who can't really afford management, that's also where the sponsorship starts. Your head, your mindset is like, okay, what can I bring to that manager or someone else who can help me that would be of benefit to them so I could use their services? So if somebody said to you, I don't know, I'll bring you two drivers if you manage me for free, or I've got the speed so you can actually use that as a value and then I'll give you more percentage of the career. Drivers need to approach people like you as well. Also, with another kind of sponsorship package, surely, like to try and bring everyone benefits. I did it to a PR company. I just said, I'm going to bring custom your way if you'll do me a logo and a brochure to sell sponsorship. Because it's not really taking much of their time. It's like, yes. So I believe you can do deals with everybody you're in touch with if you haven't got the cash in the bank. Because that's obviously where a lot of drivers struggle. So am I right in saying that?
Yeah, I think what you're saying is that, you know,
You got to hustle.
You
really.
can do things with people. If you can provide value to people,
yeah,
you know, then of course that they would want to receive that. And if they can give you something in return that is of a value to you,
yep,
then that makes sense. I mean, I think with a lot of drivers, they, you know, that certainly I've met numerous drivers over the years, and some people want an immediate fix. You know, they want to be able to click their fingers and say, you know, I want to be able to obtain this, that, and the other today. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes on rare occasions that's possible. Sometimes, you know, it just isn't. I think, you know, drivers need to perhaps look at this, you know, like all sportsmen, that to make it, you've got to be able, certainly in motor racing, to make it, you've got to be able to add value to teams.
Yep.
You know, the value that everyone thinks is because you can record a lap time 2 or 3 tenths of a second faster than somebody else, and that's your value.
But, or money, but, or whatever. Yeah.
Well, that's it. Or, you know, if you look at Formula One terms, which is all about development, you might be 2 or 3 tenths of a second slower, but you bring a commercial partner that's worth 10 million, you know, a year to a team, and therefore, actually, well, if you give 10 million to a Formula One team, that might be worth, you know, 3.5 tenths over the course of a season. And then suddenly you as a collective package are actually better than the other guy that was quicker than you. So there are a few things that you need to sort of think about in that regard. But
value, you know, value, me, value. And that brings us on to B2B as well, right? It's just, I mean, I think you said it plenty of times, and I have myself, it's more B2B in F1 than it is, can I have a sticker on the car? So that's what you're doing, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the thing which is really, you know, I know a lot of people sort of lose sight of in motor racing is the actual cost. You know, if you're an F2 driver, you're trying to raise £1 million or more to effectively say to a company, can you go on my car and I'll promote you and it will be £1 million a year. Whilst for £1 million a year, you can be on a Premier League football shirt, which has, you know, hundreds of thousands of people watching each weekend. It has fans in the stadium buying the shirt, promoting it. I mean, it's not comparable, I think.
That's interesting, isn't it? And drivers do that. Sorry to jump in because I'll forget otherwise, but drivers do that all the time. The budget's 300 grand. Right, so I've got to get a package now. I've got to sell space on my car for 150, say
300 grand.
Yeah, and it's exactly. Like, no. You're valuing it at the budget that you need, not valuing it at what it's actually worth. And drivers forget that a lot. Oh my God.
Yeah. The cost is not reflective of the value.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a key thing. You know, that's a key thing to sort of, you know, to really reinforce at an early age. So, you know, when you're, the irony is, you know, I remember working with a driver where we, you know, desperately needed funding and would have loved to have had a big commercial partner, and then suddenly, you know, he gets to the top flight, he's doing really well, and you know, suddenly now we've got commercial partners that are putting the money in and want to be, you know, associated with him.
Yeah.
And you sort of think, God, you know, this would have been so great if we could have had this earlier. But he then had value, right? He had a profile, people were talking about him, and then he's worth partnering. You know, same thing with the drivers, we've been able to put deals together for our drivers at Le Mans for the last couple of years. And it's because, you know, top performing driver won Le Mans, has a chance of winning Le Mans, you know, certainly for the last couple of years. People want to be associated with that. Okay. Whilst when you're in the junior stuff, it's really difficult.
Yeah, do you think, slightly change the subject, but do you think it's important to have loads of followers and to have create your own brand? And it's never too early to do that as a driver. So, yeah, Instagram, you get drivers that have got 2,000 automatically followers just because they put race driver and they put racing shots. But I think to go to the next category of having 10,000 and up, it's quite difficult because you have to constantly put content out that's really engaging. But do you think it's important to create your own brand as a driver?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it goes back to the whole point that you mentioned about adding value.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, that if you as a driver have got people engaged and they're interested in you as a person, in your story and, you know, and what you do, then you've got an audience in the same way that, you know, there's a value to a Premier League football team shirt. When they go into a stadium and 50,000 people are there, and the eyeballs are on and they're watching, you know, watching these people perform.
Yeah.
There's clearly a value. I mean, if you ever wanted to know a kind of monetary example of why it is important, you know, the one of the most highly paid sportsmen in the world, or perhaps even the most highly paid sportsman in the world, is Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yep.
You know, and it's reported that Cristiano Ronaldo makes substantially more money from his Instagram, you know, campaigns that he does with brands than he does from his salary at his football club.
Well, amazing.
You know, there you go. So if you're an influential sports figure, and you know, kind of when we were younger and growing up, there wasn't Instagram, right? So there yep. wasn't that. But what you do is you'd go to the park and play football, and you'd see someone with the David Beckham haircut.
Yeah.
Or certain boots.
Yeah.
That's the same. It's just this is the modern day version of it. So
that is. And I can't, it infuriates me actually when you see drivers and they don't believe they've got anything to talk about. So the only time they post something is it's race week. And then after that, great race or crap race, something happened. And it's like, this is it. You're so bland because they haven't really got the confidence and they don't think anyone's interesting. But if they document their journey, today I went into a sponsorship meeting. I don't think it went well. I completely balls it up. And that's all you literally put. And you post that for the day. It's like, oh, that's amazing. You've seen the driver go through it. They're training today, even though training shots might be seen boring. No one's interested. We want to see the journey. Same with entrepreneurs. When they're at the bottom, can you imagine if we documented, or if he did, Richard Branson documented the whole journey. So it's got a fly on the wall. It's doing little blogs of him selling that student magazine. That's not going well. Okay, now I'm going to start to offer people little tricks you can do with the telephone so you get free calls and all these things. And then you see him, all right, we're starting Virgin because we're stuck in the airport. Everyone's stuck in the airport. I'm going to charter a plane. I'm going to call it Virgin Airlines and just put a sign up. And you watched him doing all this, becoming a billionaire. It's like, that's a lot more fascinating than someone who's already got there showing you their latest Lamborghini or whatever, which is what drivers want to do. They want to show, they want to peek off what they've got.
Yeah.
And they haven't got it. They're scared to talk about it. But I tell you what, it's so endearing when you see somebody on the journey. And I'd love a driver to do that because people would pay.
Well, that's kind of what you're talking about is you're reading books now.
Yeah.
And the books are kind of a reviewing the career of that individual, whilst what you can now do with social media is you can go through each step and you can live it with your audience.
Perfect.
So you can they can be part of the journey. It's
yep.
not just a question of saying, you know, go on. It's kind of like I always sort of say to drivers, and I know it's difficult because particularly, you know, sportsmen want to focus on their events and stuff like that. But equally, if you can talk to someone during the race weekend about what you're going through, like those fly on the wall documentaries now are so
beautiful.
Popular. People want to know, you know, what's going on, not just, you know, qualifying went well and this is where I ended up or whatever.
But it's boring,
it's
man.
More, yeah, it'd be great if during qualifying, if there was a way of seeing the reaction of the engineer on the pit wall and you know, trying to hear some of the radio between the driver and the pit wall about what's going on. And when they're saying, look, you've got, you know, there's 1 minute remaining. This is your lap. It's now or never. Those are the bits. Those are the kind of bits that we need to try and more drivers need to try and find a way of putting that into their sort of social media content, because you know that's what we all like to watch.
It needs to be raw as well, not finished, not polished. I mean, me and you are great lovers of the Rocky videos, right? Rocky films.
Yeah.
It spends, if it's 1 hour 30 film, I don't know, 2 hours probably, because it's an older film, they're a bit slower. I reckon all but 3 minutes of that is about the struggle. And it's not glamorous, and that's why we watch it now. And it's 76 it was made. That's how old that video is, that film. And it's like, okay, when he wins, that's it, end, finish. No one's interested now in that part. And that's what people have got to do. And then I reckon companies will buy in. They'll fall emotionally in love with you. People will offer you free race kit and stuff like this to get it on there. It just takes someone with the confidence to walk down the street with a phone and say, this is me today doing this. And that's all it is. And once you start doing it, and it's a daily thing, every day, it then raises your game like, God, I've got to do a video today. And I'm doing nothing, so I better do something so I can video it. You know what I mean? So it actually heightens your work ethic a bit more. So there's lots of reasons.
I think it's,
why. in your life.
It's like you're talking about. It's you're creating an identity, and you're, and it's a story. So you know, I think with a lot of racing drivers, you kind of you sort of ask them what's if someone said what are you all about? What's your identity? You know, what would people say about you? Are you the just absolute? Are you the guy that outworks everybody else? The guy that's, you know, constantly going to be reviewing the data, the setup sheets, going through things with the engineer, just looking for absolutely everything. Are you that guy? Mm-hmm. Are you the guy that is, you know, so charismatic that, you know, sponsors just absolutely love you because you're, you know, you're the guy that will never, you know, never kind of make never see anyone feel left out or something like that. Like, who are you and why are people
really important?
Why are they buying into you?
Another thing I see you doing when you see a driver, you're like, right, I know what I can sell about you. Let's really double down on that, because you're no point looking at all the other stuff. So I like that again. Okay. Personal skills of a driver. What would you say? Just one or two things that you think a driver needs if they're going to make it.
I always sort of look at it on the basis that a driver has to have the ability to inspire people. That is fundamentally, that's it. Because, and how they do that is there's about a million ways that they can, but fundamentally that's what they've got to be able to do. Because, you know, whether you're a driver in karting trying to get your shot into cars, whether you're a guy in cars that wants that opportunity to go at the next level, that you know, that you, someone's got to really want to see you succeed. You know, and that's kind of it. You know, people are inspired by, I've seen drivers that are so hardworking, they want it so badly, and they're the first ones at the track and the last ones to leave, and they're always thinking about what they can do. And that, so certain people really kind of they want someone that cares that much. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that that's it. And I think with all the drivers that I've been around, you know, certainly drivers that have asked me that question, is that's the thing. People have got to want to see you succeed, you know, and, you know,
it's so true, mate. It's so true. Yeah. 'Cause then like you put your whole life on pause pretty much in a way to do that, for that driver that you both started with. It was like, I'll just do anything with him. Some of the stories you told me, actually how far you went for that driver, it's like, that was because of that driver. If it was another one that you didn't really get on with or didn't believe in, they didn't put the work in, you wouldn't do that. So yeah, mm-hmm. I get it. We're all the same. Okay, one more thing. Everybody's stuck at home. Drivers of different span, different budgets, obviously. But what can they do on the sponsorship side in the next few months, it looks like now, maybe 6 months, to, because it's not all bleak. Obviously, a lot of companies are going to want to hit it hard as soon as we get back. So there is an opportunity there. What can drivers do now on the sponsorship side? Just one thing.
I think as far as on the sponsorship side, one of the things that drivers could look at is trying to make sure that they've got the correct material. Yeah. You know, that a lot of times when they're talking about how they can sell sponsorship, try and think about the material that you're putting together, what you're presenting to people, and making sure that it's relevant. You know, and it's got to be relevant with the current, you know, if you like, economic climate
what's going on
is
now.
Going to be, you know, people are not going to be in a position to start throwing loads of money speculatively at things. So think about, as you said before, B2B opportunities. Can you open doors for people? What can you do with them? You know, and I think that that's a really key thing to think about. The other thing that you can also look at, it's not directly sponsorship, but it will help it, is, you know, again, when we're going back to the social media stuff and in general, that everybody is in a position where they can't do anything at this point. There's no one that's out there testing cars or anything for that matter. So you've now got the opportunity to sort of put everyone on an even keel and say, right, well, what I'm going to try and do is make sure that I get something out of this. I keep moving my career forward.
E-sports.
I keep working hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not a time to effectively switch off and feel sorry for yourself. This is time to do whatever you can, whether it's studying your onboard video, looking at what you could be perfecting, whether it's doing some simulator racing, if there's a way of getting some more out of yourself with that. It's finding a resourceful way to keep your physical training side of things moving forward. Like, this is it's not an obstacle that can beat you. It's a virus that's putting us all inside. We'll keep moving forward, you know, keep finding a way to move your career on.
Okay, perfect. I love it. Yeah, so it's basically more off-season, isn't it? So they come back really strong, but obviously, the esports side of it, if they can become really good at that, they can start to get sponsorship through there, because it's going to... I think this is accelerating esports really quickly, and then VR comes in 5 years' time. My God, we're all going to be on there, aren't we? As you know, I do quite a lot, so I'm passionate about it as well. So, okay, mate, that's brilliant. Thanks, Chris.
Pleasure.
Any leaving thoughts, or do you think that's about it? I think we've given them enough.
I feel hopefully it was that we've talked about some stuff that will resonate with a few people, and
it will.
And we've helped some people and given them some ideas as to what they can be focused on. So if we have, then I think we've accomplished our we've done good today.
Definitely help one person each time. Thanks, Chris. We'll see you soon somewhere at some track. And thanks for taking the time. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you, Enzo. Take care. Bye, mate.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you can take something from it. And I'll see you next time.